Love that song. I've got the joy, I've got the love, I've got a faith that is plain to see. And really, that's what we're talking about in the series that we're in right now. It's not just talking the talk, as we can be tempted to do as Christians. We talk about joy, we talk about love, we talk about faith and gentleness and kindness, but are those things being seen in our personal lives? Man, I want to welcome everyone who's here this morning. I want to welcome those of you who are joining us online. We're so glad to have you a part of our worship today. If you've got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're in verses 22 through 23. And you can read this with me, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. In other words, this is how the Holy Spirit works in you and me as Christians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As a Christian, this is what the Holy Spirit produces in you and me. As a Christian, this is what others should see in you and me. As I said, right now, we're in a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm so excited about this series because when the Holy Spirit is truly living in us, when He is truly working in us, we put a spotlight on our awesome God by the way we're living. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5? He said, listen, He says, when you let your light shine, when you are living out how God has called you to live, what will other people do? They will praise, they will glorify your Father in heaven. Not you, but they will glorify God. When we live as we should, when we let the Spirit live out in our lives, then we put the spotlight where it needs to be, which is on God. St. Francis once said, and I thought this was good, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. That's pretty good. And really, that's the premise of what we're talking about in this series. I mean, we can tell people about the love and kindness of Jesus, right? And we should. And as a minister, there are times when I have to use words, when I'm preaching and I'm teaching. But let me tell you something this morning. Man, there is nothing better when we as Christians model it for the world. When we live out what we profess to believe, that's a sermon that's really attractive to the world, and that's a sermon that's really, really powerful. Because how many of you have ever heard someone say, oh, I don't go to church because that's a place where a bunch of what hang out? Bunch of hypocrites hang out. They claim one thing, but they live something totally different. That's why it's so important that we live this out. That we let the Holy Spirit work in us to produce the kind of fruit that we need to produce as Christians. Well, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how love and kindness are linked, right? And I want to encourage you to go back if you were unable to be here for that lesson. I want to encourage you to go back and you can listen to it off of our podcast, or you can go back and you can watch it off of our church webpage. But remember what we said, that kindness is love in action. Those two are linked. Well, today we're going to talk about how joy and goodness go hand in hand. How joy and goodness are linked. And I want us to start in the Old Testament. I want us to look at a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17 is our first one. Notice what Solomon writes. He says, your own soul is what, church? Say it out loud. Is nourished when you are kind, and it is destroyed when you are what? when you're cruel. Now, how many of you have seen this played out in your life? Come on, how many of you would honestly say, yeah, I get it. This is true stuff, right? There have been times where I've been cruel. In other words, maybe I've been short with someone, or maybe I was just nasty and ugly to someone. And man, after I did that, I felt absolutely terrible. I mean, I felt guilty. I couldn't stop thinking about what I had done. And maybe in my mind, I just kept replaying it and asking myself, man, why in the world would you do something like that? Right? Because that's what happens. But the opposite is true when we do good. How many of you would say that when you do good, man, something happens inside of you? Right? I mean, you do good for others and all of a sudden you feel good. Right? You feel nourished. You feel warm on the inside. Right? You feel this deep sense of joy. In fact, how many of you would say when you do good for someone, you feel kind of godly? Right? And there's a reason for that. You see, you and I were created in the image of a good, good God. I mean, you go all the way back to the beginning, right? Genesis chapter 1, where God is creating the earth and everything on it, including mankind. And in verses 26 through 27, God says, hey, I've got an idea. Let us make human beings in what, church? In our image to be like us. To be like God. So God created human beings in His own image. And so guess what? When we're out and about doing good, guess what? We're doing what we were created to do. We're acting just like God, whose image we were created in. Paul talks about this later on in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Some of you may remember this verse. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus. Why, church? To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that's one of the reasons we feel so good when we're out and about doing good for others. We're doing what we were created to do on behalf of a really, really good God. You know, the Bible is full of all kinds of what we'll call boomerang principles. In other words, these principles, they just kind of come back around to us. And some of you will understand this. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 now, verse 25. Notice what it says. The generous will what? Prosper. There's that boomerang. When we give to others, for some reason, man, it comes full circle. It comes right back on us. And those who, why, church? Who refresh others, well, will themselves be what? They will be fresh. You see how goodness boomerangs? Joy and goodness are linked. Joy and goodness go hand in hand. When we bless others, we feel blessed. When we refresh others, we feel refreshed. That's why Jesus comes along later in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and He said, just give, and it will be given to you. Later on, Jesus is quoted as saying in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it is much better to what? To give. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's how God set things up. That's the principle that He set up in this universe, that it is much better for us to give, to go out and serve and do good, because when we do that, man, our lives are fulfilled. It is so much better for us. And so, here's the deal. We can live a life a self-centered life that leads to a hard and cynical heart, or we can choose to do good with our life and experience the rush of living beyond ourselves. Here's another proverb for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Notice what he says. Do not withhold what, church? Good from those who deserve it when it is within your power to help them. Now, I would dare say that probably more oftentimes than not, it is within my power to help someone, to do good. And so we shouldn't withhold good. Now, I will say this. I do want to point this out. We have to use discernment. Okay, when we do good for other people, and the verse, right, really spells that out. Don't withhold good from who, church? From those who deserve it. You see, sometimes helping people can actually hurt people. It can enable bad habits. It can keep people from dealing with the root of their dysfunction. It can rob them of the drive to work hard and to make more out of their life. And so we have to use discernment. But even when we use discernment, listen, let's just be honest. There are still going to be times when we get burned. Right? There are still going to be times when we get conned. Some people are going to take advantage of us. I've seen that time and time again as a minister. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I do not want is for my heart to become calloused. I don't want my heart to get to the point where I'm questioning every needy person. I want my heart to remain soft so that I can do good, so that I can help people. And if occasionally I'm taken advantage of, then so be it. But I like how this verse is paraphrased. Proverbs 3:27, it's paraphrased like this. I thought this was really good. Never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Don't tell your neighbor, maybe some other time, or try me tomorrow, when the money's right there in your pocket. In other words, don't withhold good from those who deserve it. When the Holy Spirit is prompting you, man, you just, listen, let it go. Don't hold back. Pour out goodness on that individual. And when you flood them with goodness, let me tell you something. You will be blessed. Now, I realize that I'm talking to some people who have really have soft hearts. We have a lot of people in this congregation who go about and man, you guys just seem like you are constantly out there doing good. But I know that there are some of you who are constantly doing good who oftentimes feel like, man, I'm just not doing enough. I mean, your heart is so soft to helping people that, man, you want to help everyone, and it just kind of overwhelms you at times when you can't. I mean, you want to help every child and every homeless individual, and you want to help every stray pet that you find out there. And I mean, the list just goes on and on, right? I mean, you just want to do good. But you can't do good for everyone. And oftentimes that can rob you of the nourishment that you should be receiving for the good that you are doing. Listen, there are going to be times, and this particular proverb implies this, there are going to be times when it is not within your power. You wish it could be. You wish you could help this person or this ministry, but it's not within your power. And at that point, you just have to relax and acknowledge that our good God has someone else in line to take care of that. And it may be that He's working on their heart. He's opening their heart to give so that they can receive the blessing of it as well. And so I like what Andy Stanley says. He says, you ought to try and do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. I mean, some of you, again, man, you want to do for everyone. But he says, man, start with one. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. In other words, instead of becoming overwhelmed by all the needs of the world, look for the one whom God has put in front of you. I got to tell you, there have been times when I have missed opportunities that were right in front of me. Maybe I was in a hurry. Maybe I was just focusing on myself. Don't miss those opportunities that are right there, and they're all around you. Let your heart explode with goodness, and you will be blessed. I talked to Ron. We have so many people. I could mention so many people who are just out and about doing good all the time. But Ron is one of those guys who, I don't know what the earth is going to be like when Ron is gone one day. I don't know what this church is going to be like when Ron is gone one day, because he's just always doing good. He's bouncing from one person to the next, trying to help people and meet their needs. And this week he's been over at the Barton's house trying to help take care of Jane, where he's also trying to help take care of other people as well. But he and I, we were talking earlier in the kitchen, and I just asked him. I said, Ron, I said, when you're out and about doing good, I said, how does it make you feel? I said, does it make you feel terrible? And he said, well, you know, when I get in the afternoons, he said, I'm really worn out. And he said, sometimes I have to take a nap. But I said, how do you feel emotionally? I mean, when you're out here doing good for other people, I said, do you feel terrible? Do you feel stressed? Do you feel depressed? And he said, no, he said, I feel really good. He said, that's why I do it. He said, I just love helping people. I just love doing good. And he's blessed through all that. And I got to tell you, this church has been blessed because of him and so many others. Let your heart explode with goodness. And listen to me. Ryan has not cornered the market on goodness. People are all around you. It may be a neighbor, it may be someone that you work with, but there are all kinds of opportunities for us. The Bible talks about this. Psalm 82, verses 3 through 4 says, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. In the New Testament, James says in James 1:27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to why, church? Refusing to let the world corrupt you. Refusing to let the world make your heart calloused and cynical. Get out and do good. And I love this passage, Isaiah 58, verses 7 through 8. It says, share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who are in need. Do not hide from relatives who need your help. I thought that was kind of funny. Then, listen to this. Listen to the blessing. Then your salvation will come like the dawn. And your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. In other words, when we live like this, we will be blessed. Why? Because joy and goodness go hand in hand. When we get our focus off of ourselves and we put our focus on doing good and helping others, notice what the text says, we will be healed. Now, let me warn you, doing good may inconvenience you. Might cost you some money. Might put some demand on your time. It may push you to have to go the extra mile. You may have to get out of your comfort zone. Let me ask you this morning, would you really rather sit in the comfort zone instead of being out there in the passion zone where you are serving God and doing good for others and knowing the joy that that brings? Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, so let's not get tired of doing what? Of doing good. At just the right time, here's that boomerang principle, right? At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we won't give up. If we'll continue to do good. Jesus came along and he said, only those who are willing to give away their lives for my sake will know what it really means to live. How many of you want to know what it's like to really live? Then give yourself away. Pour yourself out. In fact, let me throw something out there that's really countercultural today. As long as you are all about you, you will never have joy. Let me say it again. As long as you are all about you, you will never have joy. Let me tell you something. There are people out here today and they're pursuing joy. They're looking for joy. And they're doing everything they can, from obtaining money to buying all kinds of stuff, a new car, a new house, a new toy, a new boat, trying to fill their life with joy. And yet the answer is to do good. If we want to have joy, if we want to have a meaningful life, we throw a towel over our arm and we go out and we serve and we do good for others. That's what a great life looks like. And God put that in all of us. And listen, there's been a lot of research that bears this out, that good works bring about joy in our lives. In fact, one study from the University of Chicago, people were asked, what are the most fulfilling jobs or careers? And guess what? The jobs were at the top of the list. The jobs are the vocations where people were serving others, caring for others, protecting others. That's when people experienced joy. That's when people had that satisfaction, that fulfillment in their life. And the other thing that they found was there was no income level associated with that job satisfaction. As long as the bills were paid, as long as they had food on the table to eat, they had joy. Doing good for others. In fact, even when their income level was increased, there was no joy increase because the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the joy came from doing good. There's another study done in the UK. They did over 40 different studies in a 20-year period where they asked the question, is there a connection between joy, health, and serving other people? And the answer came back a resounding yes. And these weren't people who were just volunteering once a year. This was their lifestyle. They constantly went about doing good, volunteering, serving wherever they could to do good for other people. And the study showed that those who lived beyond themselves experience less depression, less heart disease, less stress, and they had higher levels of satisfaction, contentment, and joy. Now, parents, you don't want to miss this part of the study, okay? Because what they found through this study, and this is pretty amazing about teenagers, they found that teenagers who regularly serve and volunteer to help other people experience far less drug abuse, far less unplanned pregnancies, they had higher self-esteem, and they were healthy mentally and physically. Also, parents, the study concluded that even if you have to force your teenager to volunteer, do it. Because even serving with a bad attitude, they say, brought about good results. Also, they found that teenagers who volunteer to serve other people when they're younger generally carry that into adulthood. In other words, it becomes a part of who they are. And I saw that when I went over to build houses in Honduras, because there were some young adults who had been building houses in Honduras since they were teenagers. They'd been going over for years. And now, even though they're in college or maybe they're out of college and they're starting their own life, they're still going back to Honduras year after year. Some of them are sacrificing vacations. Some of them are sacrificing their own money. Why? Because of the joy that it brings. And so look for someone to do good. Start with one. But look for that person who God puts in front of you. And let me stop right here and let me kind of close out my lesson with opportunities that are right in front of us, but oftentimes we miss to do good. Here's number one. Do good to your family. How many of you would admit that oftentimes our loved ones get the short end of the stick? How many of you would admit that there are times when we are so much better to perfect strangers than we are to our own family? One of my favorite stories, years ago there was a lady whose husband passed away, and at his funeral, a friend of hers came up to her, and they just began talking, and as they were reminiscing, she told her friend, she said, now that he's gone, she said, there's one thing that I'm going to have to learn to do that I've never done. And her friend said, what's that? And she said, I'm going to have to learn to pump gas. And her friend said, you have got to be kidding me. You have never, ever pumped gas. She said, never. She said, before I would go anywhere, she said, my husband would always make sure that my tank was full. That's pretty awesome. That's so thoughtful. Do good for your family. Here's another one. Do good for those who can't return the favor. And man, This can be a gut check, right? Because we can be tempted to be selective with our goodness. And sometimes the determining factor is whether there's something in it for us or not. I mean, if I do good for them, are they going to do good for me? I mean, if I do good, am I going to get a pat on the back? Am I going to get some recognition? Am I going to get some publicity? What am I getting out of this? Jesus says in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets, calling attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. So oftentimes we turn on the television or we get on social media and we see this movie star or we see this person who has millions of dollars or we see this politician on social media who is giving to this charity or doing some sort of good work, and that's awesome. But how much more awesome would it be if there was no photo op? If there was no publicity? If their manager hadn't called and said, hey, this is fixing to take place. You guys, you need to publicize this. There's another passage in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40, and this is Jesus himself speaking. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whenever you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Are you getting this? The righteous, they weren't doing good to get a pat on the back from the Lord. In fact, they were like, "Lord, how'd you know? When did we do these things for you?" And they weren't doing these things to be rewarded or to have good done back to them, because the people they were doing good to, they were the ones who couldn't afford food. They couldn't afford something to drink. They were the ones who couldn't afford any type of clothing, or they were in prison. And so it's not like they were getting anything out of it. He just wanted to do good. And Jesus says, "Let me tell you something. I saw it. And I'm going to reward you for it." One last one. I know we're out of time. Do good to those who may not have been very good to you. That's hard, isn't it? I think about a story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 10. A lot of you are familiar with this story. Some of you may not be. There was a Jewish guy, and he was traveling. And while he was traveling, he was jumped by a band of thieves. And they beat him up, and they took everything that he had, and they left him on the side of the road for dead. And after some time, two Jewish guys come along who we would consider religious. It was a priest and a Levite. I mean, they were his brothers. And they come along and they see this guy on the side of the road, stripped and beaten up and left for dead. And man, they just keep on walking. And then Jesus says something that just absolutely blows the crowd away. He says, "And then along came a Samaritan." Now you have to understand that the Jewish people hated the Samaritans. They couldn't stand the Samaritans because they were considered half-breeds. They had intermarried with other races and nations, and so they looked at them as half-breeds, and they were basically unclean. That's the way they treated them. They couldn't even worship with the Jewish people. Along comes this Samaritan, this guy who has probably been mistreated by other Jews, maybe even the guy that he sees on the side of the road. We don't know, but he comes along, and Jesus says the Samaritan sees this Jewish man, and he not only bandages his wounds, he puts him on his donkey, walks him into town, goes to an inn, pays the innkeeper, says, "Look, take care of this guy, and when I come back, if what I gave you doesn't cover his needs, I'll pay you more. Just take care of him." And Jesus says, "That's a neighbor." That's what love looks like. Even though he may not have deserved it, even though he may have mistreated Samaritans, the Samaritan, he does good. Some of you may be thinking, well, I just don't get it. How can living selflessly make me have joy? How can emptying myself leave me feeling full? I mean, that seems weird. That seems so strange. And that's why a lot of people don't do it. But those who do good for others will tell you that the absolute best way to fill yourself up is to pour yourself out. To do good. Who is it who's in front of you that could use your help? Who is it that God has placed in your path who needs a touch of goodness? When it's within your power to do good, do good. And again, let me remind you, when we do good, right? We put the spotlight on our God. That's one of the reasons why it's so important. We put a spotlight on Him and people praise God and they glorify Him and all that. But also, when we do good, we experience the unexplainable deep joy of God in our soul. I want to go ahead and offer an invitation this morning. I don't know what your need may be. Maybe that this morning some of you need to come to Jesus. He died for you. He sacrificed His life. He did the ultimate good. And that He gave Himself up so that we could be saved from our sins. And when we put on Christ in baptism, all our sins are completely washed away by the power of His blood. And if you want to know more about baptism, if you want to know about Jesus, if you want to know more about our church family, or if you need prayers for some reason, you can come forward this morning. We have some paper up here and you can leave something at the cross and we'll pray about it. But whatever your need is this morning, won't you come as together we stand as we sing.